Greetings, and welcome to Scale Riders Podcast, Episode 1. I'm your host, Edgar Vergara, also known as 65 Lokes. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I also want to thank everyone for checking out and also sharing the Scale Riders pilot episode. It was something that I been wanting to do. I'm happy I started it, like got it going, and now we're officially here, the episode one. Today is Sunday and I'm just chilling right now. I was actually working on a model earlier today, and there was it was more like the Kit Collectors Expo today, which took place in Orange County. Unfortunately I wasn't able to go. I knew about it, but these last few shows that I've gone to, I've already spent so much money, like buying too many kits. It's so hard to turn down when you see something that you've never seen or something you've been looking for. Even if you have one copy of it, you want another one because you never know when you're going to see it again. And ever since the NNL show, the show here in Ventura, it's just going deep, buying like massive kits and for great prices too. So it's something that it was very hard to turn down. But I hope everyone who went found what they were looking for, or even just some very rare cool kits. Hope to go to another one in the future, but we'll see how it goes. I already have too many kits as it is, and I probably shouldn't be buying anymore, but it's just, I guess it's part of the hobby. Part of what we all have, you know, that addiction of collecting and just letting our minds just brainstorm and go crazy with ideas. As soon as we see the car, the box art, and we have it out of the box. Today it was a nice day. I was just kind of hanging out. I didn't have any plans today. All my other weekends prior to today, I've been busy, not really home, just being out doing stuff. Getting projects done and hanging out with friends. And this weekend was the first weekend where I actually got to stay in. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed local. So yesterday it rained. Glad it's raining. Well, it rained in California. It's been a while. But, you know, today was just like a chill day. And I was just cleaning my room. And I noticed in my closet I have a Nissan Silvia, the HTRS. And just by looking at the cover of it, I love it. It's a kit that I picked up in Japan when I was out there in November. And I was very tempted, like, oh, I want to open it. I want to see. And then I was like, no, I shouldn't. But then I broke and I ended up opening it. And as soon as I started looking at the like, just the body and everything, my mind just was like, oh, I see mold lines. Oh, I should sand this. Or maybe what if I take this off or glue this here. And I was like, you know what, I don't have nothing to do, let me just get started on this, why not? So I just started sanding, doing a lot of prep work on it, and I just got it to primer. I made it to the primer stage. I'm still reviewing it. There's still some areas, some blemishes that I need to fix and correct, and once I get that out of the way, then I'm gonna go and start thinking of what I'm gonna do next with the paint. If I'm going to do some kind of design or what, I don't know. This is the first time I'm actually going to be doing a Nissan Silvia or just, you know, something out of my element with low rider cars. I've been paying attention and more and appreciating a lot of the models, import models, the tuners, and the way I see everyone that's building, you know, different styles of kits, whether it's a super sport, a rat rod, hot rod, you know, a dragster, and a lowrider. I see it all like genres. It's like music, you know. Everyone's into their own thing, whether it's going to be hip-hop, rock, you know, and jazz, you know. And it's just every genre has its own element, his specialty. And that's the way I see this is, I don't want to just stick to one. I want to explore. I want to test myself to see what else I can do. Get into an area where I might not feel comfortable, where because I'm kind of clueless of to what it is, just because I don't follow it. I don't follow the scene, but I want to educate myself and see if I can also be able to build something in that genre. And from there, I know for sure, you know, I'll be able to pick up some elements and tricks and stuff. That way I can apply that when I'm working on one of my lowriders, and it'll be just a lot easier to be able to process everything. So it's been cool. I mean, something different from what I'm used to doing. And just, I don't know, when you get it in that primer stage and you start staring at it and you start putting wheels on it and everything, you know, your imagination just runs wild. You're thinking of colors. Should I add this? Maybe some patterns, but I don't know if they add patterns, you know. So this is the fun part. This is the part where you do a lot of your research and you try to see what's normally done, but then also maybe want to do something different, just to see. I mean, it's, that's the beauty of building models, is you can be very experimental. It would be terrible if it was a real car and you're just experimenting on it, just, you know, wasting loads and loads of money. But this way, I mean, you're just, you know, it's a model kit car. So like if you thrash it, then, you know, you can always figure out a way to bring it back to life. It's not going to be the end, you know. And, you know, a lot of times before, when I would be working on a model, I would mess up the paint job or something, and my first thought was, oh, that's it. I'm going to strip it. I'm going to start over. I'm going to strip this car. And I did strip a few cars in the past, and this is when I was using Rattlecan. And fast forward to like now, you know, that's, I don't even think about that. I'm not trying to say that I don't mess up. I definitely mess up. I do mess up a lot. It's just, when you mess up, Armando taught me there's always a solution to the problem. So you need to improvise. You need to find out, how do I get out of this? How can I cover this up? How can I fix this? Should I blend this in, or, you know, should I add this on top of that? And you always just need to just think and not freak out and think or get mad and be like, man, you know, this is going into the purple pond, as a lot of people say. I did it before. I mean, I've been there. I've done that. But now it's, you know, I'm not going to toss it in brake fluid or anything anymore. I like to keep those models as like even as a trophy if they're messed up, just because it's more of a reminder to me of what I did wrong, where I messed up, what not to do again, so it doesn't happen again. Pretty sure it will happen again at some point, but for the most part, I just like kind of keeping all of them there, just so I can see. But it's fun. I mean, doing this whole process of prep work, painting, and clear coating. For me right now, clear coating is probably one of my favorite parts when it comes to like the last final touches of just the clear, you know, to cover up your paint job. You're getting to those final stages, and just seeing the clear just lay on, it's just, and seeing everything come to life, everything that you laid down, the pearls, flake, candy, seeing all that just pop and come to life is very astonishing. I mean, people would tell me that we're using House of Color, you're going to see this, this, and this, and this. And it was very hard for me to paint that picture in my head. I had no clue what they were talking about. I would just nod my head like, okay. I just didn't know. And as soon as I started seeing it for myself, when I started laying down the clear, everything was just like blinging. And I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. You know, I was used to using Tamiya lacquer Rattlecan. And when I used their, I mean, great paint system, I still buy their paints. But when I would use their clear, it wasn't as shine. It didn't have that shine that I wanted, you know, compared to House of Color urethane or any other PPG urethane, which was really shiny. and bright. And last year at Cadillac Fest was the first time where I got to see lots of lowrider cars that, you know, were just armed with this stuff. You know, it was very shiny. The tables, you just see the reflection, you know, of everything just bright. You know, everything was just popping, very glossy, nice, beautiful, you know, especially the bombs. Oh my God, those were crazy. Just seeing that, I was like, you know, it makes you wonder how did they get that? And at that point, I didn't know anything about House of Color or anything like that. So once, you know, you get taught or you figure it out, you learn and you see it firsthand, now you know, and then it changes everything, because now you don't want to go back to the other systems. You know, you always want to, you want what's best for your model, especially if you're competing. That's like a big thing there. Your car's going to stand out a lot if you're deciding to compete, and especially if you're really after the award. You know, you have to go all out. You have to invest some money. You know, it's, House of Color is a lot more pricier. It is expensive compared to other brands. And there is other brands as well that are more expensive than House of Color. But that's what I like to use at the moment. Maybe later I'll try something else just to see a comparison, to see the difference. But when it comes to competing, you definitely need to invest money and time into it. And also on top of all that, you have to also think outside of the box. You have to have that competitor's edge. You know, you want to be able to stand out. I mean, now the modeling is, the building is just, it's elevating so much. Is going to another level where everything is evolving. Everyone's just evolving. So if when you're new coming in, you know, you have to try to absorb and learn as much as you can when you go to these shows, even if you're not competing, but attend these shows, see what's on the tables, you know, take pictures of the cars, not necessarily to copy, but it's more to see that as like an influence, to see like comparisons of interiors, exteriors, colors, you know. Don't be afraid to ask questions as well, and talk to, you know, if you see the artist who built that car, you know, if you see them hanging around, if you know who they are, you know, I would highly recommend you to go say hi, introduce yourself, and ask some questions. You know, most people that I've met at shows, at model shows, everybody who I've asked any kind of question, they've always helped me. They've always been very open about telling me what they use, some recommendations. They've never really held back any information, which is great. I mean, I understand, like in this hobby, there's, you know, everyone has their secrets and whatnot. But that's like with everything though. It's not just with building model cars. It's anything, you know, there's a secret to anything. But I notice with this, it depends, you know. I mean, if you want to be ahead of the curve and you're competing and you don't want no one to take your formula, let's say, you know, you got to keep that under wraps. But most people, you know, they don't really care. They love the hobby and they want to share as much as information as they can publicly. And sometimes, you know, you never know. You might be, if you don't ask them, you'll never know. And you know, if you become friends with this person, they might take you under their wing and show you, take you to that next level, a level which you want to be, and might save you a lot of years and heartache. You know, so it's always nice to say what's up. And yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard. You don't know who built what, because you don't know how they look like. On my Instagram, I rarely post pictures of myself. I do at times, when I'm with another artist, a friend who I've spoken with over the years or something, or an event, you know, and I just hope things change. I hope like most people start posting pictures of themselves, including myself, where we actually visually now get to see like who's who. And that way it can just bridge it. So when we see each other, it's easier to be like, oh, that's, you know, that's him. Let's go say what's up when you're with your friends or by yourself. And I mean, it would be kind of cool if we all had name tags, maybe one of those stickers that says, hello, my name is, and then have, you know, your name on there, your at or whatever. That would be kind of cool. And it's always nice to meet people that you talk to on Instagram or on Facebook or even on the forums. I mean, we all live far away. You know, we don't live next to each other or anything, but the internet and all this stuff keeps us connected. So we're able to communicate faster and share, you know, our projects, our ideas, our visions. And this way, you know, when we get together at these shows, these are opportunities. These shows are opportunities to get people to get together, to hang out and talk. I mean, if I wasn't doing model cars, I probably wouldn't have ever met the people who I've met in this community, like now, because I would have been doing other stuff. And the same, if you guys weren't doing this, you know, this thing wouldn't have brought us together. So we have a connection here. This is something, even if I ever, in the future, if I ever stop building models, for whatever reason, I'm still, you know, gonna want to know and keep in touch with what's going on in the scene. That's definitely, you know, it's like I still keep in contact with my peers from the music scene, with DJs and stuff like that, that I definitely still keep open. So whenever I decide I want to pursue or come back to a project or a collaboration, you know, that door is always open. And the same for scale modeling is, you know, you wanna keep that open. And you know, we have to like push this to get bigger. You know, sometimes people say that building car scale modeling is a dying art. I've heard this a lot of times, and I don't necessarily believe it's a dying art. Even if all these companies stop making model cars, we're still gonna find a way to make a model car. You know, whether it's gonna be from scratch, from nothing, there's always gonna be something. So it's not, I mean, the model car companies, they're producing kits for us, but it's, we're the ones building them, not them. So even if they would take the kits away, we would still find a way to create. And it's you know, you're the artist, you're the person that's being creative, you're testing your patience, you're expressing yourself with what you're making on each build. And I just feel that the louder we get with this, it's just gonna keep, more stuff's gonna come our way. So if let's say if everyone who builds starts branding themselves, you know, giving themselves a company name or a nickname, and I mean, you start promoting your work through every online social network. Like, you have to promote, you have to push like what you're doing, and you also have to be proud of what you're doing. And with all of us doing that, it's gonna just make the model community louder, louder, and louder, where it gets to the point where it becomes into the mainstream, where people are going to be like, oh wow, this is like a new thing. And it's like, no, this was always around, you know, like dating way back before I was even born. You know, some of our grandparents are building models, our parents, you know, I'm 34 years old, and I mean, I'm sure most of you guys that build models, you know, are probably around my age, older, younger. But I mean, I don't have any kids, but I'm sure for those that do have kids, your kids see what you're doing. And, you know, some of them even partake in it. They want to build models, or you introduce them to building models. And then so when, as they grow up, you know, they're going to continue that. So this is, and as it becomes a lot more, you know, mainstream, they're going to, for sure, they're going to be proud, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to remember, you know, my grandfather, my father, you know, we built models together. And it's a nice thing. And to me, that's a representation of our culture. You know, like, this is definitely part of our culture. And it's why I adopted to add culture to the MCC. Someone had asked me if Scale Riders was a club. And when I started Scale Riders, I didn't necessarily, that wasn't the thought behind it. I didn't want it to, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, it can be anything, but I'm not trying to say it is a club. It's more, model car culture. It's a community. You know, this is the voice for everyone that builds a model car. It's not just me. It's not just a particular group of people. You know, no, it's everyone. This is just going to be the voice. I want this to reach and influence as many people as they can get out there. You know, like I was saying on the pilot episode, everyone's an artist. You know, it's not anybody can build a model. Not anybody can pick up paint and lay it down a certain way, lay graphics, do interior, have the patience, you know, and this is something that definitely is part of your life, and it does help you structure your life, because for me, it has definitely, you know, it's helped me keep things in order, because it's steps that are involved. And when you want to build a model, you know, it's down to its bare styrene. Like, it's naked. There's nothing. It's just the plastic. And for you to get to where you want to get to, the goal, it's all steps. It takes time. You know, sometimes, yeah, if you can build a model in a day, but it's not going to really be that vision that you had. You know, it takes time, because you have to wait for first you have to prep your car, and that takes time. And you have to put primer, then you have to prep, and then primer again, and just make sure all the flaws are off. And then when you paint it, you have to wait for it to cure, depending the paint system that you're using, as well as the clear coat. You have to give it time for it. And everything takes time and hours, but that right there is your test. You're testing yourself. You're testing your patience. And finally, when you get done with your model, you're just looking at that little thing. You know, you're very proud of it, because only you know what you went through. It's a therapy. It helps you. You know, if something is bothering you, you know, if you're going through something or whatever, it's an escape. You know, it takes you away from everything, whether, you know, it's something negative or good, or I don't know, whatever's bothering you, it's like you get in this zone, you know, and you wanna keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, there's gonna be times where you might get frustrated, you might get to a point where, and that's when it's time to just take a break, like, you know, stretch, like, or maybe continue the following day. But it does teach you to have patience, for sure. And especially when you're doing this with friends, I always like seeing like groups of friends or clubs or communities when they decide to do like these group builds. You know, I see that on Facebook, also on Instagram. And, you know, it's nice because everybody is building together. And then at the end, you know, everyone has their own style. Everyone shows their character, like them, their taste. of their vision of what they wanted to produce. And it's always neat to see everybody's different car. And I mean, as you get older, you know, if you're young and you're going to start working, like your first jobs or whatever, or you find your career job or whatever, no matter what you do, not even, not just only the job, but anything, what's going to happen is you're going to notice, like, you have to follow everything in steps and in order. And as you're doing whatever you're doing, you're going to go back and think, man, this is kind of similar. This is very relative to model building. Like, this is so crazy. You know, I noticed that for myself with producing music. And I've told people, if you can build a model car, paint it and everything, you can produce music. You can produce a track. It's the same thing. It's all in steps. It's all layers. You're just layering sound after sound after sound. And then finally at the end, you master your track. That's like adding your clear coat and you're set to go. You know, you present your car at the model show. You present your music track at an event, you know, you play it or whatever, people get to hear it, and it's the same. It's all the same thing, and it definitely helps a lot. And that's one thing I like about it. There's a lot of people that don't build model cars, and they might not have that same connection, but they definitely do appreciate what they see. You know, a lot of people are blown away. Most people, you show them a model car and there's really nothing negative that comes from it. It's always positive, everything. You know, people are amazed that what they're seeing and that this hobby is still continuing and it's growing. I mean, it's definitely growing. Don't feel that it's going to end anytime soon. Right now, I feel like it's like it went in full circle again, and it's in a golden era. I mean, as it was in the past, there's not only are there like cool kits coming out, we have access to order overseas and get some other awesome kits, or even order online off people that we know or on eBay. You have all these options, websites. You know, there's all web stores, whatever. There's so many options for you to get your hands on a cool kit. And it's like the information is there, you know, whether you find it on YouTube or you get it from a friend on Instagram, or you, you know, if you have a homie that lives close to you and you're both building, it's like, you know, if he knows it and you don't, then just ask, he'll break it down, you know, and it's a very cool thing. It definitely makes you stay out of trouble. That's one thing I also want to say. And I know a lot of people will agree with me, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, you can be out doing whatever, and that's cool. But, you know, sometimes when you just want to chill home, or you just don't want to be out there. You know, this is a cool thing to do, stay in your house and be safe. And from, you know, being safe, I also wanted to touch on, you know, most of us are using different types of paint systems. And I very highly recommend everyone to protect themselves. You know, wear a mask, wear gloves. If you're going to spray, you know, you either have a build your own or get a little paint booth. That way you don't have to absorb the fumes, or paint outside when it's nice and sunny. And your paint bottles, try to store them. Don't store them in the same room that you sleep in or where you spend most of your time in. Definitely keep them in a separate area, because like some years back when I was purchasing a lot of Tamiya rattle cans, I was already acquiring a stash, and I would put them in a drawer, and that was the same room where I slept. So I had my bed, my drawer where I had my clothes underneath, and then up top I had the rattle cans inside another drawer, and on the top of the drawer I just had like my model kits. It was just I was just, you know, I love it. I love seeing it every day, just sitting there. It's eye candy. And every time I walk into that room and I walk out, I would always be staring at it. Always be staring at it. You know, it's so weird, but it's one of those things I was always doing. And every time I opened up that drawer, I would just get a whiff of paint. Like, it would just always hit me hard. I was like, dang. And one time I purchased maybe like 4 rattle cans. I didn't even open them. They still had their plastic seal. I put them in the drawer. I closed it. I opened it up later and it did it again. And I was like, how is this possible if the bottle is new and it's sealed in plastic, but somehow it's still, the fumes are seeping out of there slowly. But since it's in the drawer and it's in there for some hours, you know, all those fumes are being collected. So every time I would open it, this huge hit of lacquer would just hit me and I would be, you know, lightheaded or whatever, or just like a quick headache. And I'd be like, dang, like, I need to open up the windows. And sometimes I see people post pictures and it's like their bedroom or something. And I see the cans just hanging out there or a can of clear. And I'm like, oh my God, like, they should not keep that there. I hope they're not sleeping in that same room, you know, because it's just all these fumes, your body's absorbing them. I used to paint in my yard. And then the weather started acting weird. So I started, it would just be like super windy or breezy. And I would all, then from there, I started painting in the garage. And I have 2 small dogs. And these dogs, we call them the dungeon dogs, because they're always in the garage in like during the day. And then they come out or whatever. But they hate being outside. They like just being in the garage or in the house. So when they're in the garage, I call them the dungeon dogs. And they're just like some small chihuahuas. And these dogs, every time, like the first time, I feel so bad. Because the first time I painted a car, I started using the Tamiya lacquer, the rattle can. I'm all shaking it up, spraying the car. And it was like overspray everywhere, you know. And the fumes, like, they stayed in the garage. I opened up the big garage door, you know, the side door, just so the air can flow in and out. And nah, it was like still in there once I closed everything up. The following day, I was gonna paint a second body, and I grab another color, and I'm shaking up the can. And every time I would shake the can, the dogs would just cry. They would just make some crying noises. And then I would put it down and then they would stop. And I'll grab the can again and shake it and they would always cry. So I was always like, oh man, like they're trying to tell me like not to, because, you know, it's messing them up. They're the ones that are sleeping in the garage, not me. And they're, you know, I felt so bad. So I was like, this has to change. And luckily, next to the house, there's like a storage shed, and in the shed, it was just like a bunch of random stuff in there that needed to be taken out and thrown away. So once all that got cleared up and out of the way, that's what became my, which is now like my paint booth room or whatever, and that's where I store all my paints, whether it's Tamiya, House of Color. Even I started buying some pinstriping enamel paint. So I keep all that stuff over there. My glues, I keep that stuff in a drawer in my restroom at the very bottom. I don't keep none of that stuff in my room. I'll work in my room in my desk, but I always, when I'm done, I put that stuff away, just because, I don't know, maybe it's just me being paranoid or what, but I want to think longevity here. I want to be able to still, you know, be active in the future and be building. And I don't want to, you know, find out that my downfall was because of the absorption of all these fumes. That's why I can't continue in life or whatever, you know. That would break my heart. But it's one of those things. I use a 3M mask. To to protect my lungs every time I spray. Even if I'm going to spray the smallest thing, just one little thing, I still put the mask on. I got this mask at Lowe's. You can also get them at like Home Depot and or pretty much any paint store. But I'm going to, on the skillriders.com, I'm going to end up doing a post where I'm going to show some pictures of the one I use. That way you could get an idea. And this mask, it ranges about $30. I mean, we're spending about the same on a model kit. And I mean, this thing, you can use it for a long time, multiple times. It's not just like a one-time use and you toss it. No, just make sure after you're done using it, you store it away. Maybe buy like a plastic bin or somewhere to store it, just so nothing falls in, you know, like no dust or anything gets in there. And definitely use it. I highly recommend it. Also, at Target, they sell these vinyl gloves, and they're not powder gloves, which is nice. And these are the ones that I get. It's like a 50 pack. They're about, I want to say like $7. And all the Targets have them. I've seen them at many Targets. And these are great, especially when you're painting or you're holding your object. Because your other hand, when it's spraying, and if you're holding your object, you know, you're going to get obviously overspray on your hand. But this way, you get it on the glove. Once you're done painting, you just take off your gloves and you go ahead and you toss your gloves away, and your hands are clean and they're protected. This way, you don't expose your skin too much to like paint thinner or paint. And so it doesn't damage your skin or your nails. And, you know, it's just like small little things. It doesn't cost a lot, and it goes a long way. And also, they're more like, I guess, like I have a set of goggles and clear glasses, and the clear glasses, I got them at Harbor Freight Tools. They're about like $3 or $4. And these are great, just so no objects or no overspray hits your eyes. The goggles are also great. I use those more when I do the clear coat, because I have this small little booth, and in this booth, when I'm spraying the clear coat, it has a hose where it's sucking in all the like the overspray from the clear. But at the same time, like when I'm spraying clear on my model, I get really close to the model. And because I want to see where it's landing, and it's one of those things where I don't know, just the thought of getting clear coat on my eyes just kind of freaks me out. And I mean, I don't think everyone's really had, well, that I've known, like an accident where they just completely get their eyes full of clear coat. But it's just these goggles protect the front, the top, the sides, and the bottom. Is just like completely wrapped around, you know, around your eyes. And this way, nothing gets in. And those I highly recommend. They're also cheap. They're like $3-5. And I mean, it's only you. You know, you're wearing them. It's not like you're out in public walking around or whatever, like with them. You know, they're not like any fashion things to be wearing. You know, the fashion police isn't going to get you or anything, so you're good with these. This is just your own personal thing, but you're protecting yourself, and you got to think longevity. You know, this is something that you love to do and you want to continue doing it. And I mean, the paint systems, whether it's urethane, enamel, lacquers, you know, they can cause cancer. And I mean, you have to protect yourself, and it's never too late. You know, if you don't wear nothing right now, you know, don't think like, oh, well, it's too late. No, like just get it. You know, why not? Just invest in yourself as well. As much as you're investing in your model kits and aftermarket parts, also invest in yourself and protect yourself. And it's just, you got to keep it going, you know. I also want to mention the new website. We just launched a new website. And when I say we, I mean, this all came together with the help of Mario, which on Instagram, if you don't following him, his at is Tarek_Chaos. He helped develop the new website, and Mario and myself are going to be doing a lot of the work on the website, updating it with posts, interviews with people. And I also, I'm working with some other friends of mine that are going to be collaborating with me with videos. Shout out to Ricardo. His P Vega on Instagram. He's one of my childhood friends, a videographer, and he's helping a lot with the videos. So we have videos also coming the way. And also wanted to say, before I started to record this podcast, I had submitted a couple of days back, I had submitted the approval to iTunes for the podcast to be picked up. So this way it can appear, if you have an iPhone, you can just listen or download the podcast through your iPhone on the Purple podcast app. Sorry. So I'm also trying to get it on Stitcher, and there's these other platforms I'm trying to get it on as well. At this point, for those, I just have to submit and wait. It's just to wait to see. But the good news is it got approved. The new site is up. So there's going to be a lot of content coming your way. These shows, the podcasts are going to come out once a week. You know, if I have more time, I'll try to do two a week. But I don't want to promise that right now. I just want to keep it once a week. And I'm also going to be having guests. That's also something I'm excited about. I want to have guests on the show. I want to do interviews. There's a lot of people who I follow on Instagram who I haven't met yet, who I look up to, and I admire their work. And those are the, to me, they're just, there's something about them that's interesting, and I want to, I have, like, there's, like, so many questions I want to ask them. You know, there's things I want to know, and I also want to share that with you guys, so that way you guys know what's going on, and it inspires you to keep, you know, pushing with your models. And I just want to tell everyone, thank you for listening and sharing and supporting Scale Writers. I appreciate that. And I mean, this isn't just my thing, you know, this is everybody's thing. This is a community. It's a culture. It's just something that, you know, I hope it inspires everyone to keep building, to keep motivated. And I'm going to keep cranking out these shows, you know. Maybe you can listen to them on the road, hanging out, you know, with your friends as you're working on some projects or whatever, you know. Just thank you for checking it out. And, you know, check out the website. It's scalewriters.com. A lot going on right there. We also have stickers available. And there's just more stuff that I plan on getting out as time progresses. I just want it to happen organically. I don't want to force it. I don't want to just be like, oh, here, this is it. No, it's just little by little, things are going to trickle in. You know, we also, with events that are going to be coming up, we're going to be plugging those as well. The Lowballers event, that's coming up in April. So that's going to be a show. Once I have all the information on that, I will make sure to let you guys know. And that would definitely be a great show for everyone. It's a meet. Everyone to come out and say what's up and show their models. And we need to figure out a way for people to kind of know who's who when we're at these shows. That way no one misses, like, anyone. And they're like, oh, man, if I would have known, I would have said what's up or whatever. I didn't know that was you. And we need to figure that out. But anyway, so I'm gonna be tuning out. And hope you guys have a good rest of your week. And until the next episode, this is Edgar 65 Lokes. And have a good one. Peace.